Anybody ever feel like you're on a long and winding road? The road gets long sometimes, doesn't it?
Amen.
Doesn't it? I remember reading a poem one time that said, is a road uphill all the way, Lord? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So we pray that as you go through life that you don't take the shortcuts, because the scenic route is really a lot more beautiful. And you see things there that you might not see anywhere else. So that's why God often takes us on that long and winding road. The road less traveled. The road less traveled. It makes all the difference. Someone famous once said that in a book. But anyway, we're going to go to the Bible this morning. Chapter 13, we're going to begin at verse, 17. And just to pick up the story here, this is a story of the Israelites who had been in Egypt under slavery. They were there 430 years, slightly longer than some of us have been enslaved by some of our problems, I might say. Just right? Although one day might seem like 1,000 years when you're going through trials and tribulations, right? When you're having problems, you want it done when and solved when? Right, yesterday, yes. I don't even want the problem, Lord. Send it to somebody else. Can you change addresses when you send problems, right? My neighbor's house, they could use a few more, please, right? Bring the mail over there instead. Oh, well. I'm sorry to say life isn't quite that way, but God is good. And God is going to use circumstances to help us grow and change and become more powerful for the next time. And God wants to move us forward all the time, right? And upward all the time, right? And we remember from a couple of sermons ago, you'll get there, right? You're going to get there, wherever there is. So keep on keeping on, no matter what. Beautiful. All right, so this is where we pick up the story. Finally, after 430 years... the Israelites are about to go into the promised land. They're going to get there. And so this is how the story aspires. Exodus 13:17. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them on the road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest way from Egypt to the promised land. So God didn't send them the short route, the easy way, right? Because that was Philistine territory. Now, just in case you didn't know this, the Philistines were also enemies of God's people. So you got the Egyptians who had them enslaved. They were making bricks for years, and they were under that awful tyrannous rule that was there. And then they are now going to go into the promised land, but they're not going to take the short way because the Philistines are there. And this is why. See, whenever we're going on our life journey, God has a reason why or why not. So keep that in mind. As you're going through life, when you kind of get a detour from time to time and you want the easiest route, don't you? Point A, point B, boom. Shortest, right? Straight line, right? The shortest route. That's how you want to go, isn't it? Right? That's our human nature, isn't it? It's okay to be human. We know that. We like the least path of resistance, don't we? In fact, we want God to just beam us there. Boom. Pick me up and put me there. Kind of like in the New Testament where God takes the Holy Spirit and takes Philip and boom, he's in another city. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great to go from problem to solution instantaneously? Wouldn't it be great? Would you grow? No. See, you don't. Which is more important? Getting from point A to point B or growing along the way? Obviously growing, right? Right. But God had a reason. I'm going to give you the reason in the next verse. God said, if the people are faced with a battle with the Philistines now, they might change their minds and return to Egypt, right? So God's wanting to set the people free, take them to the better place, the promised land. But God knows that if they face a battle immediately, because they've been enslaved all this time, right? They're not prepared for battle, are they? No, because they've been oppressed. You can't go from oppression or depression to, like, I'm wonderful all of a sudden. It doesn't happen that way. There's a process that has to happen. You have to be prepared for battle, don't you? So you see, every time we learn and grow through life situations, what are we doing? Being prepared for the next battle that might be coming our way. Do we not all have enemies? Sometimes in our own mind, right? Some of us fear things, right? And there are real situations that could very well seem like an enemy to us, right? Or a problem. We'll use that word. We are all going to be faced with those, aren't we? Of course we are. Are you prepared for all of those? Maybe, maybe not. But if you go from point A to point B every single time, you'll never be prepared, will you? And what's the propensity that we see when someone potentially could be faced with a battle? What's a or you want to change something? Everybody in the room loves change, right? Yay, I love change. Change is good. Change helps me grow. What did I lose the crowd here? Oh, those on Facebook, don't you love change? My group doesn't, but maybe you do. Oh, I'm getting clicked off by him. I'm losing viewers right as I speak. Oh, anyway. Change is a part of life, isn't it? Of course it is. Can you stop change from happening? No, so why fight it? Go with it. Learn in your life situations. But the propensity always when something, even going from something not so good like being enslaved and being oppressed or being depressed or being in a problem, moving to something better and greater, what's our propensity when the first kind of opposition comes? What do we generally do most of the time, us humans? Turn back. I'm better off over here where I used to be. Are you really? Of course you're not. But we're more afraid of the change for the better than what we're used to, aren't we, sometimes? But not us. Not us. We love change, don't we? Because we're going where? To the promised land. Don't ever lose sight of your outcome, where you're headed. When you don't have a good outcome out here, a good goal in front of you, of course, everything that gets in the way can be an obstacle to that and stop you. You've got to bring the outside here, the goal, the dream, whatever it might be, whatever you're wanting to change in your life for the better who you're going to become, you know, that wiser, thinner, greater person or kinder person, whoever you want to become, sober, whatever it might be for you out here, you want to be someone different, right, and grow, don't you? Yes, more Christ-like, right? Of course, right? But in order to get there, you got to keep your eyes on that goal. If you don't, anything that comes in the way, you're going to want to do what? Turn back to the way it was. So remember this, always, always, always think about where you're headed and bring that into focus. Will obstacles come? Does that mean you stop? No, of course not. Are you on this journey alone? Okay. Who's with you? Wow. And God can do anything, right? And remove the obstacle. And if God doesn't remove the obstacle, what do you learn in the process? How to keep your eyes on the end goal and or to maybe move the obstacle yourself. You become stronger, right, in the process, don't you? All growth. Awesome, right? But you see why God didn't take the Israelites the short route? Because they were not prepared yet. You see, God had a good reason not to take them right to the promised land. Even though you're headed towards a goal, you may not get there overnight because why? There's a good reason. God has a good reason why. So you could be better prepared for when you get there. Right? All right. Awesome. So God led them along a route through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. They're going toward the Red Sea. That's not toward the promised land necessarily, because they're heading where? To the wilderness. Just so you know, geographically, the promised land was actually due east. It would take about 8 days to get there. It's going to take the Israelites 40 days, slightly longer. They were not flying, you know, the nonstop trip that they were going, right? They weren't on the right airline, apparently, right? But there are no fast ways to get where you're going. Remember that. To be able to be prepared and to be able to be ready for when you get there, the fastest way is not always the best way. So he takes him to the wilderness. How many of you want to go there? But watch what happens. The Israelites left Egypt like a marching army. Because here's what happened. Moses grabs their 600,000 people, probably really closer to 2 million in total, that were actually going to leave Egypt in one fell swoop. All those people had been under slavery and been oppressed. And they're going to leave like a marching army, shaking their fists back at Pharaoh. They're saying, aha, we're finally being freed. They were brave and they were strong, weren't they? When you're leaving one situation to go to something else, how are you going to leave it? Like a marching army, brave and strong, right? I'm out of here. Close the door on the past. I don't live there anymore. I'm on my way. Ta-da! Ta-da! The battle cry. Off we go! Right? That's a great attitude, isn't it? Awesome. Isn't that the attitude you want to have every time you're leaving something in your life? Even though sometimes we hesitate, right? What am I going to do without that chocolate cake? I'm giving that up. What am I going to do without this? What am I going to do without that? What am I going to do? What am I focused on? Back. Something of the past that doesn't belong to us anymore, right? Those things can enslave us. Can't they? And keep us from where we're meant to be. Can't they? So, where is God leading the Israelites? Into the wilderness. Lovely. What's the wilderness experience like for the Israelites? It's a time of quiet. It's a desert. And guess where they are? Alone. With whom? God, hopefully, right? See, to get prepared to go forward in any area of your life, you have to have a quiet time in between point A and point B, where you spend time with God, get to know God and get filled up by God and get instructions from God. You need fuel for the journey, don't you? Some of us rush headlong after things, don't we? Leaving God behind. He can catch up later. I'm gone. I got to get there. I got to go, 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 go. See, God has a purpose for wilderness. It's to keep us still and be in God's presence. That's a time of waiting. Wait before you act. Wait for God. Make sure God is actually leading you ahead. Even if he's taking you on an odd route, what am I doing here? How come we're in the wilderness? I can just imagine 600,000 people, close to 2 million women and children and so forth, going to Moses, going, Moses, you're lost. We're heading to the promised land. It should have taken us only 8 days. Can you imagine the committee meetings there? Can you imagine the grumbling and the whatever? And blah, blah. You know, we need another leader. What the heck's this all about? Blah, 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 blah. Who's Moses listening to? Oh. Who are you listening to? I hope and pray, right? God, right? So if God takes you into a place you don't quite understand, go with it. Go there. Be in God's presence. And God, that's going to help you get to the next place, isn't it? And he's going to be preparing you in the wilderness. That's where you get your faith on. That's where you get your courage on. That's where you get your momentum ready to go only forward. So he takes them into the wilderness. Verse 20, leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord guided them, by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. So God was showing them which way to go through the wilderness. God will always guide you, I promise you. That way they could travel whether it was day or night. So God has the purpose even for that. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from their sight. So God was right in front of them all the time. Are you noticing when God is in front of you all the time, or do other things obscure your view? So if you lose sight of God, what do you have to do? Get your goggles on and your glasses on and your binoculars on. Where did God go? Oh, there he is. Because if you know, the only reason you don't get to your goal is that you take your eyes off of it. You can't hit a target you can't see, right? Can you? So you have to keep your eyes on the end and on God in the process. Next chapter. Then the Lord gave this instruction to Moses. Tell the people to march toward Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the camp and the sea. Camp there along the shore. Then Pharaoh will think those Israelites are confused. They are trapped between the wilderness and the sea. This is what the Pharaoh is going to think, right? See, God has a plan. Now think about this. Suddenly you're between a rock and a hard place. You got a mountain over here and you got the Red Sea over there, and you're thinking, I thought I was heading for the Promised Land. It's supposed to be like open big territory. What is in front of me? The Red Sea. What is behind me? A mountain. What's God doing? What is God doing? God is obviously geographically challenged. You know, you're going through your life, right? And you're heading on your goal. You see it out in front of you, right? And all of a sudden, boom, there's something in front of it. And you go, whoa, that's a block. And you look behind you and you can't go back. You can't go there. So you're stuck right here in the middle. And you think to yourself, what? I thought God sent me here. I thought God was saving me. I thought God was setting me free. And look where I am. I'm trapped in the middle, stuck. No place to go, nowhere to turn. And then what happens to us humans? Freak out. Right, okay. As the story goes on, the Egyptians start deciding to chase after them. They think, what have we done? We let them go. And, you know, the king finds out of Egypt. So Pharaoh gets freaked out. And he says, oh, I should have never let them go. I got to go get them back. So he sends all these chariots and this whole army of people after the Israelites. So not only now the Israelites got a rock and a hard place, they got an enemy bearing down on them. They look up and they see, uh-oh, the Egyptians are coming after us. And now what's going to happen to us? We're going to die here, aren't we? Aren't we? Oh, no, yeah. Oh, I trust God. Listen to this. Okay, one person out of the 600,000 that are there. It's okay, folks. It's all good. So what if we're stuck here in the middle? So what if the Egyptians are chasing after us and coming for us? We can't go through the Red Sea. So be it. We'll just chill. And we'll sing a few praise songs. Now, if we were to tell the truth, is that really what some of us do? Okay, I'm just wondering, maybe. I know we're different. Verse 10, as Pharaoh and his army approached, the people of Israel could see them in the distance marching toward them. Remember the brave marchers? Right? I got my armor on. I can fight anything. I'm heading for the promised land. I'm free. God is with me. They see the Egyptians approaching. The people began to panic. And they cried out to the Lord for help. Then they turned against Moses and said, they complained. Oh, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? We could have died there. Why did you make us leave? Whose fault is it now? Moses! If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be changing. How quickly they turn on the leader. The one inspiring them to move forward with their life to something greater. How easy is it when you get in the middle of your mess, right? You've decided to change. Anybody in the room decided to change? Recently? How about now? You want to change today for the future? You want to head to something better? Say yes, church, and folks that are listening. Yeah, oh yeah, I want to change. I love change. I want to be better. I want to go higher. I do. I'm stuck in the wilderness. And you say, yes, I go. And then we send you on your way and you start moving forward, right, with your life. And what happens? Obstacle comes. The enemy starts chasing you. You think, I better go back, but I can't now. I can't even go back because they're going to get me. And I'm freaking out in the middle of this. And you, who do you turn on? The one who suggested you change. But you said you wanted to change. You said you didn't want to stay in Egypt. You said you didn't want to be a slave. You said you didn't want to be oppressed. You said you didn't want to be depressed. You said you wanted to move and be greater and spiritually grow. You said you want to grow, right? Did you say that? You want a better life, right? You said that? Yeah. Whose fault is it that you left? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? I love that scripture. While we were still in Egypt, you think those Israelites really said to Moses, leave us alone? They're probably tugging at his tunic every day. Can we get out of here? Can we get out of here? Can we get out of here? How many times do you say, I got to change, I got to change, I really need to make a difference. I really need to go on that diet. I really need to stop drinking. I need to change my life. I really need to be more forgiving. I need to do all these things. How many of you say that, right, out loud? Or in your prayer life, right? We get the prayers that say, help me change, help me grow, help me be a better Christ-like person, right? You say that, right? You say that, right? And then when it starts to happen and it gets a little rough patch in between, you want us to tear up the prayer card. Why is God answering my prayer? Why is God helping me grow? And I'm having a different, I wanted to go from 180 to 120 overnight. Yes, is that possible? Are you going to run into obstacles along the way? What are you going to do when the obstacles come your way? You're going to be different, right? Please don't turn on the leader. Our Egyptian slavery was far better than dying out here in the wilderness. See where their heads are going. Does anybody here ever go to what I call negative, catastrophic outcomes? You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, you go to the doctor, and they take a little test, and it's, you know, you're certainly, you after you've been on the internet for about 3 or 4 hours, looking up every possible disease that that test could give you, and you begin to plan and call the funeral director and the pastors and, you know, and you're getting your affairs in order. Right? And then you talk to somebody else and you say, pray for me. I think I have thus and such. And then they tell you how to handle that symptom, right? And so they give you vitamins or they go to this other website that tells you the medicine you should be taking. And then you start talking about all your lifelong journeys together and how wonderful it was, and I'm going to miss you. That's what we call sometimes paranoia or having a delusion about the future that's not necessarily positive. How likely is it? Do you see what the Israelites are just showing us human beings, right? They're imagining they're going to die in the wilderness. That's their only thought that could possibly be happening to them. Let's look at it this way. When you are changing and growing and you get to that, sometimes, you know, you ever hit a wall when you're trying to change something in your life, right? And what's, you know, you hit that wall and you think that's it. And then suddenly it gets painful even maybe, right? And you sometimes think, you know, I'm never going to make this. And so what do we tend to do? Give up. Right when we're almost at the finish line. You know, I forget the swimmer. I think it was Diana Nyad, I think her name is. You know, she swam from Cuba to the United States. Remember that? And all the jellyfish were biting her and all that. You know, the one time she didn't make it to shore, there was fog. She stopped. She got out of they had boats beside her, and she got into the boat. She was, I forget how many feet, but it wasn't very many. Maybe 100 feet from shore. Why couldn't she make it? Couldn't see it in the fog. She swam it again after that and made it. We're the same way, folks. When you're moving forward with your life, There might be jellyfish jumping on you. You might not be able to see ahead of you. But you keep swimming. You keep going. You keep moving forward, regardless of what you might be presented with, because God will help you along the way. When you have a faith and a trust in God, you have to know that God is there beside you, right? Helping you. That's what those boats were alongside of her. They were there to help, give her water, to encourage her and yell out the different places that she was heading and speaking and praying, I'm sure, right? That's what we're all in this together about, right? Are we going to die in the wilderness? No! God is not going to leave you there. Are you going to go back to Egypt? No! Who said? I only had like 3 people say no. Getting where my ears can hear counting now. Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Stand where you are and watch the Lord rescue you. The Lord himself will fight for you. The Lord's going to fight the Egyptians? And the Lord's going to do what to the Red Sea? Oh, we all know the story, don't we? How many times when you're between a rock and a hard place do you forget this story? Do you see why from time to time, I know I preach it at least once a year, if not more often than that. It's a reminder that each and every one of us through our life are going to come out of an Egypt experience, end up in the wilderness, and we have to keep moving forward. And sometimes we just stand still and watch God open up the problem in front of us and open up and take away that obstacle. And what happens to the Israelites? What's the end of the story? The Israelites, God, as the Egyptians are attacking them, they leave the wilderness, they head for, right? Now they're a marching army again. They're marching forward this time because Moses encouraged them and said, don't be afraid. I'm not even going to answer your problems about why you think you shouldn't be in Egypt. He didn't even address that. He just went to God and God said, don't be afraid. So he told the people, don't be afraid. God will take you through this. Is God on your side? Is God going to help you through? Are you ever alone? Beautiful. So what's going to happen to your Red Sea? It's going to part right in front of you. And that's exactly what happened. That the Israelites moved forward. They marched forward towards the Red Sea, not even knowing it was going to part. But they moved forward anyway. You got to keep moving forward anyway. And then when they get there, woo, it opens. And the scripture tells us they walked across on dry land. It was about 9 foot wide, the ditch. It's still there, by the way. Archaeologists have actually found when they closed up the Red Sea, when they made it to the other side. Wow, I made it. Oh, what was I saying? I was talking, right? I had such a dramatic ending, too. Hate when that happens. So, if you notice, I was over here, but see, automatically I went right back where it's safe. Oh, boy, God taught me something and taught you something, right? I can easily preach from over here, can't I? Where am I headed? Promised land. The Red Sea opens up, right? The people walk across on dry land. What happens to the Egyptians? God closes the water off and all of them drown. They literally have found some of the chariots on the bottom of the Red Sea, about 170 feet down. Archaeologists approved the crossing of the Red Sea, by the way, scientifically. How cool is that? So how are you going to prove your crossing of your Red Sea? How many of you are in Egypt right now? How many of you are between a rock and a hard place in the wilderness? How many of you are ready to be a marching soldier as part of the army to move forward? How many of you are going to yell at the leader? Nobody? That back row is a problem today. Obviously, they don't realize I can walk forward. And And if you're faced with a Red Sea that's an obstacle in front of you, what are you going to do? Stand still and watch what God will do. Watch God. Watch God do some awesome things in your life. Please don't get angry at God when you don't know the why or the why not. It's a learning process. You're being prepared. God wants you out of that place where you were. When you've decided you're going to leave, leave. Go ahead. And even if the place you end up doesn't seem like it's a place you want it to be instantaneously, you're on the way to something greater. And God is going to use that time in the wilderness to prepare you, to help you, for you to build a relationship stronger with God, preparing you for that future. And then even though you're faced with that Red Sea and you seem like all your problems are chasing after you, sometimes it feels that way, that we can't seem to get away from them. And you try to run faster and here they keep catching up on you. God opens that door. Boom. And you do what? You walk through it. You walk right on through it. And then you turn back and all those problems, phew, the Red Sea just washes them all away. Wouldn't that be great? Would be. Is it going to happen? This side of the room, over here, it's going to happen for them. For you? It hasn't happened yet, Pastor. I'm still waiting. I'm still in the wilderness. Well, evidently, you're going to do something really spectacular. God has a good reason. God always has a good reason. And God always wants to help us. Know that. Believe that. And what you cannot do for yourself, allow God to do it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I try to help God. Because he just doesn't do the things I have asked him and told him to do. My way. I mean, I've got the answers, right? I know exactly how he's supposed to solve that problem. For all of you. I know it all about you. Would you rather have me deciding for you or God? Good. I prayed this morning for each and every one of you. I don't know where you are. I know this. It's time to get out of Egypt. It's time to leave behind your past. It's time to leave that kind of thinking where you don't believe you deserve to be set free or to live your life to the fullest. If you're in the wilderness, God has you there for a reason, and God will minister to you there. And God is preparing you and all the other events around you for his plan to be fulfilled. Never give up. Never turn back. It's a long and winding road, I understand. But the only way to get where you're going is to keep going along that long and winding road. Knowing this, you're not alone. God is with you. God has got a plan for you. And he's preparing you for something even greater on the other side of that Red Sea. When you get to the Red Sea, because you've got to walk there first, right? It will part for you. Just like the doors of heaven are open for all of us, when the day of our departing of this earth, the doors open. We're just going to walk on through. Sometimes this is our wilderness experience, life, the earth. But it's also a blessing place as well. One last thing about the wilderness and we'll end. God sent them to a specific place by the shore so they'd have water. It was the only place in that desert where there were palm trees with water, coconut, that they could drink from. So even in the wilderness experience, God refreshed them and gave them something to drink. God is good all the time. So enjoy your trip on the long and winding road. I'll see you in the promised land. Amen. Amen. Amen.